changed it on me. And so tonight I'm preaching on laughing at the long suffering of God. And I'd like to, I just don't know, I love this church, right? You've been so good to me, but I don't know your personality. I don't know, like, for instance, I've been in some churches when the pastor asks the people to do something, they do it. But then I've pastored churches, I ask people to do it, and 10% do it. And you can't, as a pastor, you can't browbeat people. They either want to do it or they don't. So I'd like to ask you, not I'm not a pastor, but I'd like to ask you to bring lost people tonight. If you could. Now, sometimes they won't come. Like our dear brother here, he was talking to his daughter, and he said she put a fence up, you know. You can't browbeat people. I get that. But on the other hand, you can show love, concern, urgency. You know, I like what someone said about me. They said, you know, I don't believe what Dan Carroll preaches, but I can tell he believes it. I think we need to witness to people. If it doesn't move their heart, they need to see it moves your heart. See, don't be a salesman. Don't be robotic. You know, when you talk to your lost friends and loved ones, let them know how much it means. That's what Spurgeon said. Spurgeon said, look, if you're not going to weep over your soul, you let me weep over it. You know, so I'd like you to bring friends, lost loved ones tonight. You know, a backslidden Christian. They're just, you know, they say they're saved, but man, they're just not taking God seriously. Bring them tonight. Now, I warn you, the message is going to be a little, it's going to be some Tabasco sauce with it. So laughing at the long-suffering of God, and it'll be straight from the Bible. You know, I've always said, no matter how sensational I am, I'm not as sensational as the Bible. So, and I pity these preachers. They won't preach on the hard topics. They won't. They won't preach on hell. If a preacher won't preach on hell, he's not loving.
That's right.
You don't want to keep me out of hell? You're a hateful preacher. But on the other hand, I like to preach on hell. Old preacher said, when you preach on hell, don't preach like you hope they go there. I don't want you to go there. I'd like to keep you out. I can't. The Holy Spirit has to do it. Stay with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So tonight at 6 o'clock, try to come straight up. All right, we're in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. With your permission, we'll go to chapter 4 then after this in 1 Thessalonians. Now chapter 15, verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. That's interesting. So you see, you can't. There's no way. First of all, flesh and blood, that implies your fleshy nature. And that has to rot. You can't, if you're saved. You know, when God saved you, he didn't take anything away. He just gave you a new nature. Now, I wish he'd have took away our old nature. But you still have the old nature. So you have to crucify it. You know, I tell young people when they get saved, I said, you've got a black dog and a white dog. And the black dog still loves sin as much as it ever did. But now you got a new white dog. And I said, now which one wins? And they say, I don't know. I said, the one you feed the most. If you starve the black dog and feed the white dog, you'll have victory over sin. But as a Christian, if you starve the white dog and don't go to church, don't read the Bible, well, then you're going to feed the black dog. I mean, come on. Is this a mystery here? It's just that simple. Verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, sleep, that's in reference to dying. We're not all, but notice he includes himself. Why? Because he believed in the imminent return of Christ. But we shall all be changed, all of us. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and that's not blinking. Notice it didn't say blinking. Twinkling, that's even quicker. That's a nanosecond. In the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, that's not talking about Donald Trump, amen?
Right.
For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Oh, there's your saved loved ones. And we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal, those of us that are still living when Jesus comes, must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall put on incorruption, And this mortal shall put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass. See, then, not until then. The saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I like this. The word therefore is there for a reason. Okay? Therefore, based on all that, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Okay, one more. Again, be patient with me. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4, verse 13. Thank you. Notice he says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. Now, some Christians, it's not that they're mean, they're just ignorant. And ignorant doesn't mean you're stupid. Ignorant just means you haven't connected the dots. You haven't been taught. So he says, I wouldn't have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. But see, they were worried that somehow their saved brother, their saved mom missed the rapture. He said that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. Now, I didn't say don't sorrow, but we don't sorrow like the others.
Right.
Yeah. See, our sorrow is different because we know that joy comes in the morning. Verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again. Now, do you believe that?
Amen.
Okay? Yeah. All right? You believe that? Even so then, also much which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. So see, when the rapture comes, you won't see your mom in heaven. You'll see her in the air. Yeah, she's coming with him.
Yeah.
You understand? That's going to be a happy roundup.
Yeah.
Verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. Now notice that. Paul is reminding you, this is scripture authority, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them or precede, that's an old English word, we're not going to precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself, I love that. He's not going to send Gabriel, Michael, and say, I'll take care of this. I'm coming myself.
Amen.
Shall descend from heaven with a shout! With the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Now that's not talking about Baptists that are asleep. I mean, I'm just a joke. All right. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive, now here comes our text, and remain shall be caught up. See that word? That's where we get the word rapture. Caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. If it was a mid or post-trib rapture, we'll comfort it. You know, I don't look for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Christ.
Amen.
Yeah. So if it's a mid-trib rapture or a post-tribulational rapture, then you got to look for the Antichrist. I'm not looking for him. Title of the message, the harpazo. I'll explain it. The harpazo mission. Let's pray. Thank you, dear Lord, for letting me stand behind this sacred desk. I thank you for the prayers and the dedication of the faithful members of this church. And I understand that some are sick and they can't be here. Some are just somehow providentially hindered. And so I pray that you bless them. But then some are just sorry. They have just given up. They don't tithe. They don't give their money to the church. They do not support the church with their prayers. They don't come. I pray that you convict them. Maybe they're saved. Maybe they're lost. But Lord, it's not right to be a member of a Baptist church and not support it. That's just not right. But on the other hand, Lord, we can't change their mind. We can't change their heart. People just have thin skin. So I just pray that you'll convict them and get them. And remind them that New Providence, Primitive Baptist Church, is still holding the fort. And they're still open for business. And I just pray that you'd help them to feel obligated to come here and support this church. Thank you for Pastor Tommy. His unwavering commitment to thee. Bless his wife and his children, his brother, his family, and help this church to lift him up in their prayer. Now, Lord, this message is going to be a joke if you don't help me. I'm a little boy doing a man's job. I just pray that I'll not be business as usual. I pray that you can anoint my lips. I'll have blistered lips because the hot coal has touched my mouth. Lord, help me not to get so caught up in trying to impress people with me. It's not about me, it's about you. So Lord, I just pray that I'll do a good job of bragging on you and lifting you up. And Lord, I just pray that you'll save sinners. Lord, it just I would love to see someone trust you today, that you'll get the reward of your sufferings, that you'll save some precious soul, and that you'll also revive that Christian who's gotten so sleepy and apathetic that their Christianity is not helping anybody. I just pray that you'd wake them up. And thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Be seated. Thank you. Now, there are latter-day concerns that should sober every one of you. There's trouble in the Middle East. I mean, the tension is, the tours to Israel have stopped. Because the fighting is going on. I mean, there's missiles every day. When I was there in Israel, I saw the gunfire. In fact, we discovered a new cave there in Jerusalem. I didn't tell anybody. But nonetheless, there's gunfire going on. And so Israel typically is a safe place to go, but not now. And the tension is high with Hamas, Hezbollah, and so on. And the Bible said this would happen.
Right.
The Bible says that he'll make Jerusalem a cup of trembling. And we talked about this last night. If you missed Friday night, Thursday night, we discussed Isaiah chapter 17, verse 1, 2, and 3, and Psalm chapter 83, verse 1 through 6, that gave the prophecy of what's going to be happening in these days. Europe is restless. See, Europe, they've got a mess on their hands, and people, they think Islam's going to take over. Islam's not going to take over. You know why? Because the Bible says so. Islam's not. The Europeans could put down Islam any day they want. They're allowing. Listen, when Rome was strong, they were a republic, and they were run by the Senate. They had a bicameral government. Rome did, but they were weakening because you see what the stupid Romans. They didn't understand that as goes your morality, there goes your nation, and we're just as dumb. Right?
Right?
So they saw their morale. In fact, when Rome was crumbling, Caligula, you know what he did? He had 180 straight days of gladiator games. You know why? Because if the people are entertained, they won't pay attention to their crumbling nation. We're the same way. As long as the NFL's on, you know, NBA, March Madness, Americans are so dumb they don't see their country crumbling, you see? So Rome fell within. Well, here's what they did. They said, man, our empire is crumbling. And they spread themselves out too. They were all the way to India. They were all the way to Africa, all the way up to Britain. There's Roman roads today still in Britain and Switzerland. You can see them. And so, you know what they did? They said, yeah, we need a leader. We need a dictatorship. Well, the people never go for that. The people will never go for a dictatorship. They said, but if there's civil unrest, they will. Let's let our empire fall apart. And so they did. Crime was rampant. There was just mayhem and anarchy everywhere. And the people, now the businessmen, the rich guys, saying, you got to stop this. No one's safe. We can stop it. We got to get rid of the republic. What do you mean? We can't. Our nation has gotten too big, too many problems. We can't control. We need a leader, an emperor. They said, okay, fine. Anything but stop this. Does that sound familiar? You listen to Americans. What do you think all these riots are about? Portland's in flames, Seattle, Chicago, New York. Why do you think they're allowing us to kill cops? And why are they not putting those punks in jail and giving them the death sentence? Amen, amen, amen. Why are they allowing all this mayhem and this anarchy? Because they want to dismantle and disrupt this, our republic, so that we will accept the dictator. And guess who already announced it? Gavin Newsom out there in California. He brought in the president of China, and there was no crime in San Francisco for those days. And you know what he told the Californians? He said, see, we can control crime when we want to. Ladies and gentlemen, you need to wake up. They are destroying our country in order to usher in a dictator. Europe's doing the same thing. And Russia's going to march. Here's the other red flag. Russia's going to march on Israel. But you see, Germany will march with them. Well, guess what, boys and girls? Guess what Germany announced yesterday? They are not going to attack Ukraine. We stand with Russia. Yesterday, it's on the news. See? What does the Bible say, Ezekiel 38, that Gomer will side with Russia, and they're already starting to do it. And Germany's a NATO nation. I explained that. So see, Europe is watching this. Now the money is in Europe. The Rothschilds, all these various, they make Donald Trump look like a garbage collector. These guys are trillion. Even George Soros is rich. He is just their little hitman. The big families are in control of the world. There's about five families that are in control of this world. Okay? Now they're watching this, and what they're doing, they're allowing Europe to kind of get a little bit unrest. They're watching America weakening. Do you know why we're supporting? Listen, now again, you say, well, Dan Farrell, you're smart. No, I'm as dumb as you are. It's just I read the Bible. Do you know why America is supporting Ukraine and sending billions of dollars? What a joke. We've got, our Texas border is wide open. Our country's going to hell in a handbasket, and we're sending billions of dollars to Ukraine? Well, you're a moron to do that. And Ukraine's just as corrupt as Russia. They're a bunch of neo-Nazis there. But now we've said, you know why we're doing it? There's two reasons. Number one, you ready? To, first of all, bankrupt America. This is the Biden and the Democrats and the rhinos, the Republicans, are going to bankrupt America. Number two, we're trying to bankrupt Russia. Because the longer that war goes on, the more money the Russians spend. The more money they spend and the more men that die, we weaken Russia. This is all about trying to weaken Russia. Well, guess what? It ain't working. Russia is destroying Ukraine. Do you know how many Ukrainians have died so far? 100,000. You think the Democrats care about that? You care about Ukraine? Stop the war. They're losing. Russia's winning. In fact, Russia's getting stronger, and we're getting weaker. So what Europe is doing, Europe is kind of playing this out. It's a scheme. And when it's all said and done, what they think is we will be on top and we'll rule the world. That's what the Bill Gates wants. That's what they all want. And that's what Big Pharma is about. Yeah. If you're all hung up on Trump, look, you have got to wise up. My mom was not doing good. Because I'm not as smart as some of you. And so I started looking at her medicine list. And so I went to the doctor, what's this? And they started looking at it and said, this was personal. I said, yeah, but let's revisit this. And out of 11 medicines, only three were needed. They were killing her. Sticking pharma mafia, and some of you act like your doctor is the Michael the Archangel. They practice medicine, they don't heal. Now I'm not against taking all drugs. Maybe there is a drug that you have blood thinner, you think, I don't know. I'm not gonna tell you what to do. I'm just telling you, be skeptical. Trust the Lord and be skeptical of men. Amen, amen, amen. If you need heart surgery, get a second opinion. I told Greg, start taking some fish oil. Yeah. His heart's kind of like any fish oil. Take some vitamins. Get vitamin D. Get overload on vitamin C. You can't overdose on vitamin C. You're going to have to start thinking, because some of you trust the stupid government and pharma too much. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't used to be this strong. I am sick and tired of playing patty cake with people. Wake up! Yeah. Your life and health is worth something. Don't put it all faith in the doctor. So, we're bankrupt in America. I said all that to say this. These are signs. Now, what's going to happen is Russia's not going to weaken, but they will be destroyed. Because they're going to march on Israel. Ding, ding, ding. Mistake! Because now you're on. Remember what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Well, you just blew it, pinhead. Because now, unless you can swim like a porpoise, you're going to be blowing bubbles in the Red Sea. And he did. So you see, Russia's going to attack Israel. I think it'll happen before the rapture. I don't know. And then they're going to thank you. You get anything else? What is it, a bug? Bug. I've had some bugs get in the ministry. I'll be preaching. They go right in my mouth. And I don't look at the spits. I swallow it. Well, that's a legal bug in the ministry. So when Russia's destroyed, then Europe will say, now nothing's stopping us. And meanwhile, there's going to be something happen. And there is something else hindering them. What is it? What's hindering Europe? What is hindering the devil? What is it? Something's hindering them. It's us. You see, there's still a lot of Christians in America. Now, there's not many in France. There's not many in Germany. There's some. And there's a lot of born-again Christians in the Philippines. And there's a lot in India now. And there's a couple million. I mean, there's millions in China. Okay, so we're in the way. So the Holy Spirit, I mean, the Holy Spirit is everywhere, right? He's omnipresent. But like in a place like this, it's like concentrated oxygen. Haven't you ever seen those guys on the sideline? And that's concentrated oxygen, you see. And so in a place like this, we have concentrated oxygen, the Holy Spirit. But when we're gone, let me illustrate. Okay, let me illustrate. Come here, Justin. Just stand here. His mom is saved, and his older brother is saved, and I'm the devil, and he's the Holy Spirit. Remember when you said that Satan was burning?
Actually, burning. Go ahead.
Okay, well, that's pretty good number. Now, and you think you got saved because, well, then God, yeah, but it's because your mama's prayers, man. Heaven's hound was after you, and he got you, right? Okay. All right, so now, I'm the devil. I want to get to this guy. And so I want to get to him and look. I can sometimes do this, but see, I'm having a hard time getting to him because the Holy Spirit's in the way. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way.
Amen.
The word let in the English is, it's an old, I wish people would not obey in the King James Bible. Look, you say, well, I can't understand all the words in the King James Bible. Have you ever heard of a dictionary?
Amen.
What do you want, a comic book? I mean, that the King James will pull you up. But if you want a comic book that you can understand, okay, get one. But I want a Bible. That's why I love the King James. Now, the word letteth means to restrain. It means to hinder. So what? No, you're right. Huh? Okay, you see, I'm having a hard time getting to him. Because his mama's praying for him and so on. But he doesn't get saved. And all of a sudden, jump up. There you go. Jump. All right, the rapture takes place. Now he's gone. Now that answers the question the other night. Well, can people still get saved in tribulation? Yeah, but it's going to be harder. Because now he who now letteth will let until he's taken out of the way. That's 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Okay? Now, I didn't say that it's impossible that he'll get saved, but boy, the stakes are higher now. See? Because so that's why I say to any of you that are lost, trust Christ now.
Right.
Get excited. And you say, but I don't, my heart's not moved. Then ask God to move your heart.
Yeah.
Here's a good prayer request. Ask God to give you repentance.
Yeah.
Can you do that?
Yeah.
Dear Lord, give me repentance and faith. Get my, I mean, that's a pretty good prayer request.
Yeah.
Alright, so my point to you is that all of these things point to one thing, that the coming of Christ is near.
Right.
We're moving towards a cashless society. Revelation 13. Transhumanism now. I just said, Pastor, the guys in Australia sent me what's going on in AI. Now these thinking robots, now they say they have independent intelligence. I don't know if that's true, but that's what they're working towards. I was with a guy that had an AI app, and he typed in, type me a letter on the, or a term paper, a three-page term paper, single space, on the second of the cross. I was there, I watched. Within 2 minutes, boom! 3 pages, all Bible references on the second coming of Christ, and I read it and it was accurate. Now that's more than just a computer. So this artificial intelligence, I think, is a red flag. Now there's early evidences of the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast is now starting to make some back. I've got a book written by Peggy Noonan. Peggy Noonan was Ronald Reagan's speech writer and maker. In their cabinet meeting, they talked about the mark of the beast Because they introduced to Reagan about getting a smart card, having a chip put in people's hands, and one of his cabinet makers said, that sounds like the mark of the beast. And Ronald Reagan said, table this, we ain't doing that. And it didn't happen in 1986. Now, that was in 86. Apostasy, that's another red flag. You say, what do you mean? How many Baptist churches, just talk to this here, brother, how many Baptist churches are we seeing now with empty pews? Dying on the vine. And then the churches that are apostate, all it is entertainment. Oh, man, they're full. But they're not getting anything. Joel Osteen runs 10,000. And you think I'm picking on him because he is a big church? I would rather preach to 10,000 than preach to 10. I'm all for it. I like preaching to big crowds. I do. But you're not going to compromise truth to do it. Well, Joel Osteen was on Larry King. I just watched again last night. And he asked him point blank, are Hindus and Muslims going to hell? And he said, I can't answer that. He goes, well, they don't believe in Jesus Christ. He goes, well, I can't answer because I think there are some good Hindus and they are sincere and many of them do believe in God, but I can't answer. See, he wouldn't do it. He's a false prophet. He said, I'm going to say it. That's why you're not the pulpit. He's a false prophet.
Amen.
And I don't criticize people if you have this much difference. But man, when you can't even say Christ is the only way to heaven, you're a heretic. You're a heretic. That's a red flag. Jesus said in the last days, that's what happened. Now don't listen to the baby, listen to me. Okay? Don't listen to the baby, listen to me. The days of Noah, we're here. The days of Lot, it's here. And then there's a resurgence of Satanism. Now, you don't see it, Justin, because you don't know where I go. But it's there. I've been preaching places where the witches, they put pentagrams around me, and they're putting hexes on me. You know what I do? I laugh at them. Because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world, right? But, buddy, they're out there. I've seen them. And it's demonic, and it's growing. You know why? Because we're retreating. When we retreat, they advance. And then one more thing that needs to happen, and that is the Lord needs to come back. And he is. It's called the harpazo. Now you didn't see it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, but it's there. So here's my outline. Number one, the precedent. Number two, the preemptive. It's a preemptive attack, if you will. Number three is personal, and then prenuptial. Number one is the precedent. You say, what do you mean? See, this idea of a rapture sounds so fantastic. Oh, come on. You believe that born-again Christians are just going to be raptured out of here. I got to admit, it sounds pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. But there's a precedent for it. You say, what do you mean? Enoch. If you look at Genesis 5, 21 through 24, in fact, let's just do it. Because I'm not going to make you turn a lot. But look at Genesis 5, verse 1, verse 21 through 24. 21 through 24 of Genesis chapter 5. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years. And he begat sons and daughters, they're not named. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, which is a lot less than the other contemporaries. Verse 24. And he did not walk with God, and he was not. What? What do you mean? He died? No, God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and got Lamech. Now, where'd he go? All right, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Share your Bible. Maybe somebody didn't bring their Bible. Look at Hebrews 11, verse 5. He was by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him, for if before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Do you know the word translated is mentioned three times? He was translated. In other words, God just took him to heaven. The old black preacher said, the Lord said to Enoch, come and spend the day with me. And he did. And since there's no night in heaven, he's been there ever since. So, he's translated. Now, see, that's a rapture. So, this is a precedent, you see. Elijah, 2 Kings 2:11. He was translated. A fiery horse and horses and chariot split him and Elisha. Next thing you know, he gets in the chariot and says, well, see you later. And boom, man, he's gone. And he didn't die. Somehow, that's a rapture. You know how I know it's a rapture? Because flesh and blood could not inherit. So somehow, he went through a change. He had to. So the harpazo means to be caught up. Now, in Latin, the word harpazo is translated raptura, and that's where we get the word rapture. So if somebody says, well, the word rapture is not in the Bible, yes, it is. It's called harpazo. H-A-R-P-A-Z-O. Harpazo means to be caught up. Let me show you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And I'm not going to work you to death, but I just want to make some good proof text here. Chapter 12. Paul, I believe, died in a city called Lystra. He was stoned to death. Here's what Paul, he refers back to it. It happened 14 years prior to him writing this. So watch what Paul says. It's really interesting. It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. Now watch what he said. I knew a man in Christ about 14 years ago. See, he was modest. He didn't want to say it was him. So he speaks in third person. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Now, that's interesting. When your soul leaves your body, it still feels like you. So, like, if I was to step outside my body, I wouldn't even, am I out of the body? I wouldn't know. It's like taking your coat off. See, this is not me. The real me's in here. But this is not me. The real me is in here. I just use the body as a vehicle. So he says, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such a one. Look, here it is. Harpazo was caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out. He repeats it. I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up, harpazo, into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man. Oh, of such a one will I glory. Now see, Paul went to heaven and saw it. But notice these people that say they went to heaven for 30 minutes or whatever, and they come back and write a book and make lots of money. You notice they always give you the details. Well, I went to this, then I talked to Timothy, then I talked to John, and I saw these special. And they got all the details. Paul didn't do that. He said, I can't tell you what I heard. I saw things I just can't tell you. I'm not going to do it. And yet these bozos, they write a book on it, and you believe them. Be leery of things like that. Paul here, and that's why he said, I knew a man. He didn't want to draw attention to himself, see? So that's why I always worry about these Pentecostals that always want to know, come here and hear Dr. Song-Tong. He's going to tell you he was caught up the third. It's about him. Our job is to lift up Christ. And that's why Paul was modest when he tells you the story in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. But again, I wanted to show you the word hapazo means to be caught up. Now, what does that mean? Now listen, now you put your seatbelt on. Ready? Here we go. The idea of being caught up is a plucking up. See, it's the idea of pulling up. The King James will define its own word. Matthew 11:12, take it by force, apostle. 13:19, catch away, apostle. John 10:28, no man can pluck them out. That's the word apostle. Acts 8:39, Philip was called away. Remember that? Philip was called. That's the word harpazo. Acts 23:10, take him by force, harpazo. Jude 23, pulling him out of the fire. That's the Greek word harpazo. And then Revelation 12:5, caught up unto God, harpazo. And then our text, Thessalonians 4:17, harpazo. Justin, let me borrow your son for a second. He'd like to speak. Where is it? Come here in the line. Just give me one to watch. Listen now, you get on your hands and knees. You're a lion. Okay, you're a lion. Right? You're going to gobble him up. Ready? I roar. That's her pause.
Yeah.
Or how about this one? Stand here. Now you're a car. You're going to run him over. You're going to walk or run. Ready? Come to right. Go, go. Oh, no, no, no. Come here. Ready? Go. Ready? No! Oh! That's the idea of harpazo. The word harpazo means he snatched you just in time.
Yeah.
He snatched you in forcefully. You know what that seems to suggest? That we're going to be in a world of hurt, and then the Lord's going to rescue us. Let me ask you a question. Now, be honest with the church, okay? Be honest. Do you think everybody's looking for the Lord's return right now?
No.
What did Jesus say in Matthew 24? Lift up your heads, for your redemption draw nigh. Now, why would you do this? Because here's why. You listen, watch. Because there's nothing over here going to help me. There's something there going to help me. And there's nothing Trump ain't going to be able to fix this. And the Republicans can't fix this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Lord, please come back.
Amen.
Now, what's going to happen to Americans to make us lift up our heads? Lord, redeem us. He's going to have to shake us up. Hey, look at me. Look at me. You know why we're not serving God? Because we got it too good.
Yeah.
I'm getting ready to go to a place in Australia. There's four churches in the whole country. Four Baptist churches. That's it. When I go to the Philippines, they don't have refrigerators. They don't have food. They don't have cars. Churches don't have parking lots because people don't have their own cars. We Americans, we're so fat and sassy and spoiled and lazy that we got health insurance, car insurance, life insurance. I mean, we got it all, man. Why do we need the Lord? So you know what God's going to do? He's going to take it away from us. And things are going to get so bad. This is why Brother Tommy said, you better toughen up. You better get ready because the day's going to come. Here's what you're going to do. Lord, please come back. But right now, we're not lifting up our heads, are we? We're not. And so we're in apostasy. And Baptist churches are dying on the vine. And it bothers me. I don't like it. Because I'm a Baptist. But you know who I blame? I blame Baptists and I blame preachers. It's not right. I want to be living for Jesus when he comes back. So this harpazo, if you remember that illustration with your son, that's the idea of God. He rescues you in the nick of time. Just in the nick of time. Now, doesn't the Lord come as a thief tonight? Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. See if this doesn't make sense to you. I bet it will. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Start with verse 1. But in the times and seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord, this is talking about the tribulation, cometh as a thief in the night. Now, you know what that means? That means that here's what the lost people are going to be doing when the rapture comes. You ready? All right, some coffee. They're going to wake up, they're not even going to know we're gone. They don't even know life has just changed. And within weeks or days, the Antichrist will be revealed. Well, who is this guy? Boy, things are going to get better now. And they're so dumb that the tribulation will come on them like a thief in the night. Now that's in verse 1 and 2. Okay, now stay with me. Look at verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, see the white horse rider, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, the red horse rider, and travail upon a woman with child. See, she didn't expect the baby to come this morning. And they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that that day should overtake you as a thief. See? Ye are the children of light. See, you're awake. You see the signs. And the children of the day, we're not of the night nor the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep in the night, and they that be drunken, typically, it's not 9 in the morning, it's 9 o'clock at night, in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath. See, look at that. Pre-trib rapture. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. So when the Lord comes back, he's going to come back as a thief in the night, which means he when Christ comes back, he just comes for the valuables. He's not looking for underwear. He's looking for jewels. He's looking for guns. He's looking for things that are valuable. What's valuable to the Lord Jesus Christ? You. So see, he's going to steal us away. That's why he comes as a thief in the night. Now, the tribulation comes on as a thief in the night in a very negative sense. But as far as we're concerned, it's very optimistic. It's very positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, so number one, my first point was it's preemptive. It's preemptive. Yesterday we were talking about the rapture, and I told you about how the Allies were trapped in northern France. And it's called Dunkirk. The Allied troops were, and by the way, I went ahead and got the stats. 338, 266,000 troops were trapped. Hitler was coming. And so they declared a day of fasting and prayer, Winston Churchill and King George, and there was an unusual cloud cover that day, and fishing boats and everybody came, 983 boats. Some were fishing boats, some were yachts, some were an ocean liner, you know, all kinds of boats. And they evacuated 338,226. And when Hitler's troops got there, they were embarrassed. Where'd they go? They were here, now they're gone. That's us. Talk about a miracle of Dunkirk. We're going to be evacuated. And so now, look, if you will, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. You're in 1 Thessalonians. But the mystery of iniquity doth already work. See, it's already working. The spirit of Antichrist, the delusion has started. You saw that with COVID. Only he who now letteth will let until he take it out of the way. See, Justin, that's the idea of you. What's your name again? Rodney? Roger? See, that was Roger. See, Roger left. Now, not that you're gone, it's just you lessen your restraint. Now, what happens when the Holy Spirit is lessening his restraint? Now, look at verse 8. And then shall that wicked from the Antichrist be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy 7 years later with the brightness of his coming. So, number two, personal. Now, when the Lord resurrected Lazarus, please listen. What did he say? Did he say, hey, you? He said, hey, Lazarus, come forth. Okay? In John chapter 10, you don't have to turn there, but kind of read it to you. John chapter 10. Very interesting how the Lord says this. In John chapter 10, verse 1. Verily I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, but by the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in the door is the shepherd of the sheep. That's sheep. Now listen. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by
name,
and leadeth them out. That's interesting. Leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he putteth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. In other words, a false messiah. So the Lord calls us by name. That's interesting. Roger, when the Lord saved you there in that garage, he had your number, he had your name, didn't he? That's the hound of heaven, man. He was hunting you down. That wasn't the first time you were convicted. But that day, man, when you surrendered, that's called the effectual call. That unmistakable voice. On the Damascus Road, what did he say to Saul? Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? When he was at the empty tomb and Mary was standing there, he said, Mary. And she turned. When he came under the sycamore tree, what did he say? Zacchaeus, come make haste, for today salvation must abide in thy house. You see, it's the trumpet covers that voice. Turn now to Job chapter 37. I'm trying to teach you something here. Please stay with me. I have a tendency to bore people, so I want you to stay with me. Look at Job 37, verse 1. Job 37, verse 1. Please obey me on this one, okay? I want you to see it. Job, right before Psalms, 37, verse 1. And this also my heart trembleth, and is moved out of his place. Hear attentively the noise of his voice. Look at that, the context. Listen. The noise of his voice and the sound that goeth out of his mouth. Remember the voice of our angel trumpet God? He directed it under the whole heaven and his lightning under the ends of the earth. Now watch. After it, a voice roared. He thundered with the voice of his excellency. And he will not, look at that verse 4, will not stay them when his voice is heard. Now I wonder who that them is.
Yeah.
And maybe not by doctrine, but by application. Here's what it's saying. He's not going to say, come up hither. He's going to say, Tommy Boy, come up hither. See, you'll hear your voice in that rapture. I am convinced of that. During the rapture, he calls the sheep by name. Now, he'll hear Tommy Boring. I'll hear Dan first. But you're going to hear your name, and you're going to move. That's what happened to Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and immediately I was in the Spirit. It's a personal thing. Let me pause here. Are you going up in the rapture?
Amen.
Are you sure? See, here's the thing. You can come forward, shake the preacher's hand. Oh, I got saved last night. I hope you did. Yeah, God knows. Why do the Bible says make your call and election sure? Why does the Bible say seek to enter into the straight gate? Why? Because, buddy, some of you may not. That's what Steve and I were talking about. That not all that glitters is gold. And that bothers me, see. And listen, I'm not saying this to make you feel bad. I'm not even saying this. Well, some people say you shouldn't get people to question their salvation. I think you should. You know who scares me? The people that never question their salvation. You bother me. I question my salvation. Doesn't the Bible say examine yourselves? Whether or not you be in the faith? That's 2 Corinthians 13:5. How come you never question your salvation? You better check it out, man. There's better people than you that are going to hell that were more faithful in church, more faithful to give their money, and had Baptist baptism. You say, who? Judas Iscariot. He was baptized by a Baptist preacher, and he went to hell. Are you saved? Because see, here's, I remember one time I used to be a youth director. I love teenagers. Let me figure that out. But teenagers can't handle me. You know what I mean? And that's why they like me. And so I was preaching on the rapture, and I got a bunch of wood shavings, like sawdust. And then I put metal shavings in there, a bunch of metal shavings. And so it looked like a pile of junk. All right, then somebody gave me this big magnet. I mean, this thing was like this, powerful magnet. I said, now when the Lord comes, he knows who's saved, who isn't. He knows the faith, he knows the real. I said, it's kind of like this magnet. Brother Tommy, I took that magnet and I went over that little pile, and you should have seen those metal shavings. They were flying up. And that whole thing was just covered with metal shavings. But all the sawdust was left.
Amen.
Now I'll ask you a question. Are you sawdust or are you the real thing? You better make sure.
Amen.
Well, I'm a member of this church. I ain't going to be chanting that.
Right.
Well, Tommy Boren baptized
me. Right.
This rapture thing is personal. Will you hear your name? Justin Boring, come up hither! Will you hear your name? You're gone, man. See, if you're not saved, you get left. I say that in love. I don't want to insult you, but I'd like you to question your salvation. Number three
was
personal. Number four, prenuptial. Now, we've talked about this. In a Hebrew espousal, a prenuptial covenant, they call it, the bridegroom is called the betrothal. You know what they do? They use a cup of wine, whether it's fermented, unfermented. That's not the point. And what they do is, here, Sabrina, Justin, I have a little illustration of you. If you can hug your wife and her soap. Okay. Now stand, face him. Okay. Now take your arm like this. And you take your arm like this. And you're going to drink it. All right? And you're going to drink some wine. I'll drink some wine. All right? They're engaged. Now see, first of all, the dad is over here, says, do you have my permission? He gives her, and you got to give me some money, my boy. I'm her dad. That's the dowry. I got a sermon called The Ten Cow Woman. You ever heard that sermon? The Ten, that's pretty cool. So anyway, so now you're engaged. Okay, have a seat. What did Jesus do to his church in the upper room? This cup I'll not drink new with you until I drink it new with you and my Father's kingdom. You know, Jesus hasn't had the Lord's Supper for 2,000 years. You can have the Lord's Supper. The next time that the Lord Jesus will share the cup of wine with you will be at the marriage feast of the Lamb.
Amen.
Yeah.
The church got engaged to Jesus in the upper room, and that's why we say right here, this do in remembrance of me. Bride, don't forget your bridegroom.
Right.
It's not just about looking back to Calvary. It's also looking forward to the marriage feast. See? Now that they're engaged, by the way, the Hebrews didn't want their engagement to last more than a year. And I think that's kind of a good thing. You don't want too long of an engagement. Okay. Now he leaves. Okay. I'm going to go in that room there. Okay. Now you just sit here. Now, you have any makeup to put on? You did a little bit more. I'm glad you did.
Okay.
I thought you're putting makeup on, you know, and she's just keeping her white dress clean. You're supposed to keep your white dress clean. Do you remember, did you have a white dress when you got married? Did you have a white dress when you got married? Okay. Did you put it in with all the other luggage, or did you have a special place for it? Yeah, you did. You want to keep that dude clean. The last thing you want to do is walk down. There's an ink mark on the back of your rear end and walk down. I mean, that'd be horrible. So you got to get the white dress ready, get the bridesmaids picked out. Yeah, okay, you put your makeup on. All right, so now Justin's going to come out and he's going to say, here's what you're going to do, right? Justin, hold on, you're going to get back in there. All right, now come here, Greg. All right, now you're the best man, right? Okay. All right, so you don't know when it's going to come. Okay, guys, ready? Come.
Behold, the bridegroom comes.
Is that the loudest you can do? Come on, pull that. Back up.
Behold, the bridegroom comes.
Consummate the physical part of the marriage. You know how long?
7 days.
7 days. Now there's something. What? Don't your honeymoons last like 7 days? Almost. If you had a honeymoon. Okay. Now, when the honeymoon's over, come on out. That's the man stands next to him. Maybe I'm the dad. Ladies and gentlemen, she's got a veil over her face. Ladies and gentlemen. I present to you, Mr. and Mrs. Justin Bourne. Everybody clap. Woo! And we see who the bride is. See? I wonder who the bride is. Is it the Catholic Church? Yeah. Yeah, man, she's called a mother church. How do you have babies before you're married? Yeah, that's interesting. The Baptists are so stupid. They call themselves a mother church. Not a mother church. You're a bride. Yeah. Okay, now they're married. Now we announce it. And now what do we do? We have a marriage feast. See? And we get to sit down with the Lord, you know, and so on. You got that? Now remember that. Okay, great. Okay, have a seat. Now look at what the Lord's going to do. He's engaged to his church in the upper room, right? Then he says, in my Father's house, I've been engaged. I go to my Father's house to prepare a place for you. See, you guys sang it wrong this morning.
Yeah.
I was the only one to sing it right. He has prepared for me a city. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. If you want to, look at Revelation 21. Where is that place? It's the New Jerusalem prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. There's the place. Now, you know what Justin's doing. He's, I want the drapes here. She loves a deck. Let's have a nice deck. Oh, she wants a gazebo in the back there. Let's do that. And then we got to have matching curtains in the master bedroom. And Justin's just working on this place, getting it ready. And then you come and you say, behold, the bridegroom come. You see? And you take her to the new. This is the way they did it.
Yeah.
This is a pre-trib rapture. Right. Because for 7 days while he enjoys his wife, the world goes through the great tribulation 7 years. At the end of 7 years is the marriage feast of the Lamb. This is all the Hebrew wedding goes step by step. By the chronological prophetic plan of God, and that's why I believe in a pre-trib rapture. I hope that makes sense.
Amen.
Thanks, Justin and Greg. and Sabrina. Now, my last point then is this. This harpazo, if you'll turn with me, Revelation chapter 3, is very important because it's the I think it's the next big event as far as we're concerned. The world, they're not going to miss us. They won't miss us. But it's the next big event. Revelation chapter 3, if you will, verse 9. Chapter 3, verse 9, please. Look what it says. He says to the church of Philadelphia, "Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews," I know who this is, "and are not, but they lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee," he says to a church, "because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation," see the tribulation, "that shall come upon all the world." See that all the world context? "To try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Wow. Song of his bride. "Him that overcometh, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven," Revelation 21, "from my God, and I will write upon him my new name." Sabrina, when you got married, did your name change? I had a bunch of Church of Christ guys come to me, and they said, "Where do you see Baptist Church in the Bible? Where do you see that?" I said, "Where do you see Church of Christ?" And I said, "No, it says Church of Christ. Where do you see the title Church of Christ?" And we went back to work. And there's like three of them. And they were just whooping on me, you know. I said, "Well, boys, let me tell you. You don't give your bride your name until you're married. That's why the Lord's never named his church. We're not married yet."
Yeah.
When you marry her, that's when she gets the name Boy.
Yeah.
Make sense? And so you see, this rapture is very important to us. I want to ask you to close. How do you say it? Now, first of all, you can't go to heaven just because you're a Baptist.
Amen.
Ain't going to happen. You can be a Baptist, go to heaven. You must be born again. Amen. So, see, heaven is a family affair. But then I would recommend this. Once you're truly saved, you ought to submit to believers' baptism. Get baptized and join this church. You say, "Why this church?" Well, it's the place where you got saved. Which doctor do you go to? The doctor that didn't help you or the doctor that did help you? You go to the doctor that gave you some help. Well, why not go to New Providence Primitive Baptist Church? Have they been a blessing to you? Yeah, I'd love to go to Tommy. Well, then maybe I'll get baptized. Join the church. He said, "Well, I'll pray about it." If you told your son to mow the grass, he said, "Well, Dad, I'll pray about it." You don't have to pray about mowing the grass.
No.
If your dad says mow the grass, mow the grass. The Lord told you to get baptized.
Yep.
Period. Yep. You don't have to pray about that if you're saved. Right. Now, you may have to pray about what church to go to. Mm-hmm. Okay? What church has helped you? Yeah. Well, man, New Providence has been around. Oh, then I think that's the place I'll get baptized. Make sense? Mm-hmm. You go to the church that's been a blessing to you, and go to a church that preaches the word.
Yes.
Takes a stand and tries to live it. Not just preach it, but try to live it.
Yeah.
The harpazo mystery. See, it's a mystery. The world doesn't understand. Justin, the world ain't going to miss you. I don't know where you work. They'll wonder, where's Justin? I don't know, man. He's a punk. I don't like him anyway. You know? They won't miss you at all. They'll replace you.
Yeah.
And someone's going to get your dog, and someone's going to get your guns, and they're going to ransack your house. I mean, with all these illegal aliens that are coming in, they're going to ransack your house anyway. And guess what I say? You can have it. Let me tell you a story, and I'll close. Have you ever heard of the, what was the guy that got in trouble in China, got caught by the John Birch Society? You ever heard of John Birch, Steve? You heard of John Birch, haven't you? He was a Baptist from Texas, and he was a missionary, but he got to helping sneaking people out of China when the communists were taking over. And so he got a little bit too involved in that stuff, and nonetheless, he started the John Birch Society. Well, I met this guy. And he was a John Birch Society member. And we were talking about how bad the world is. And he knew the world was horrible. And I said, "Yeah." He goes, "Man, this place is going to hell." I said, "I know." I said, "But I got a plan." He goes, what's that? I said, now you would believe me. He goes, no, not really. What's your plan? I said, I'm getting out of here. And he looked at me and goes, really, where are you going? I said, no, you wouldn't believe me. No, I want to know. Really, seriously. See, he was interested.
Yep.
When I said, I'm getting out of here, he was really interested. But then when I told him that the Lord Jesus is going to return and rapture us out of here, oh, yeah, I've heard all that. Is that your attitude? Ah, yeah, I've heard all that. You preachers have been preaching that for years.
Right. Go ahead.
Is that what you think? Well, then don't be surprised next Sunday when you come here. Brother Tom's not here. Roger's not here. Greg's not here. Supreme's not here. Justin, many of you, Steve's not here. And you're going to say, did they call service this off today? It is Sunday, isn't it? Well, where's Bill Tommy? I don't know. Let's call his house. They start wondering, where is he? Where is he? You'll see. You'll see. I trust Christ if I were you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. My guess, the pianist,